Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We are here during our pledge drive, and we want to welcome you to another interesting program. We do have an interview coming up. David Mitchell is interviewing a person here in town who is coming up with all kinds of things locally that we can do on the municipal level to deal with climate change. So it's a very interesting discussion, but hang on, we're going to be doing we're going to be pitching first. We're going to be talking to you first about supporting KKFI and supporting Radioactive Magazine and supporting the locally produced public affairs program. And here in the studio with me is Craig Lubow. And so, Craig, you want to tell them why they should be supporting KKFI?
I sure do, Bill. Thank you. We want you to support us because we bring you all of these great issues and we bring you coverage that you can't hear on mainstream media. KKFI is the only station you hear a lot about these issues. Last week we had Wayne Besson that we played on conversion therapy.
Now, talk a little bit about conversion therapy for those that may not know what it is. Quickly stated, it's the therapy that that gay people were kind of forced to go into to cure them from their homosexuality. And unfortunately, things have changed over the years for most people on that. But that was a very interesting discussion.
Yes, and then later this fall, within the next month or so, we had Rick Stack spoke at All Souls Forum on the death penalty and had very interesting perspectives on it. He used to be a public defender, and he's written the book, and we are going to play an interview that I will be doing with him sometime in the next month or so.
So the point is that all of these shows are things that are produced here right in the studios at KKFI. We have some great public affairs programs. Of course, our flagship is Democracy Now, which, you know, obviously is on a national basis. But we have a lot of activists from right here in town in Kansas City. We bring on to Radioactive Magazine, to Echo Radio, to Jaws with Justice, and all of those give them a voice to go out to the community and say how we can work together to change our society for the better and to show that you support that kind of programming, that kind of local activity. Give us a call at 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. Say a couple more words, and I want to tell them about the match.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to bring up. If you want to tell them that first,
them
about
that,
the champion
since I
match.
Got information in front of me. Our good friend Greg Schwartz is. We're gonna extend this challenge for the next 30 minutes during our show. So you can call in during the interview. You can call in now. You can call in towards the end. But Greg is going to donate $100 matching to anybody out there that'll match up to $100. And we're gonna do that for the entire 30 minutes of the show. So give us a call, show your support, 888-931-0901, kkfi.org.
One of the things we do is educate the community, and that's really important. We're coming up on election year, and an educated community makes better choices. At least that's what I believe. And so that's one thing you're supporting, a better community by supporting KKFI.
And you can double your money if you do it during this time when we have somebody that's going to match it. So give us a call. Show us your support at 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. And we'll be back to you right after the next interview, which is about 22 minutes long. So keep your radio dial right where it is.
And you can call while that interview is playing.
Doing another edition of Radioactive Magazine here on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, with this week's host, Dave Mitchell. Earlier this year, I interviewed Lindsay Constance and Mike Kelly, Lindsay was the city council member for Shawnee, and still is, as far as I know. And Mike Kelly is the was the mayor of Roland Park, and they had founded a new organization as of this year, the Metro KC Climate Action Coalition. And since the founding of that organization, they have grown by leaps and bounds. Their purpose is to reduce carbon emissions in the metro area. They organized the September 14th Climate Summit at the Johnson County Community College. And one of the things that they're doing is developing a policy playbook for local leaders that local leaders can use to reduce carbon emissions. And we have with us here today Melissa Cheatham, who is on a panel of six, I believe, developing that policy playbook. Melissa, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I am a volunteer, as are all who worked on this climate action playbook. My background is in environmental policy. I worked in Washington, D.C. for a number of years at a national environmental organization and then for a House Committee on Energy and Commerce, where I worked on comprehensive energy and climate legislation. I've been back here in the KC metro area since starting my family, and really heard Lindsay and Mike's call last year that for the sake of our children and my children and our whole community, that we needed to act urgently on climate change. So I've been excited to be part of this effort to empower local leaders to take action with the authority and vision and strengths that we have here in our Kansas City community.
Well, yeah, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you being on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about the panel that you're working on and the process that you've been going through to develop the policy playbook?
Sure. Well, we are calling it a climate action playbook because it really encompasses more than just policy. And our goal, as we set out, was primarily to empower our local elected officials here in Kansas City, people like Lindsay or Mike, who might be a council person, a mayor in a small community, to really understand what they could do to tackle climate change with their authority in their small community. We also are hoping that not only will we be reducing our own climate pollution here in the Kansas City metro, but that our momentum that we show will galvanize state and federal action as well. So our panel included experts from the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. We had Gerald Schechter, who works for the City of Kansas City, Andy Rondon, who's in the solar industry. We had a representative from a nonprofit called Cultivate KC that focuses on urban agriculture, and someone in his personal capacity, Brian Sifton, who works at Black & Veatch, as well as input from many different nonprofit and other elected leaders. We really started as a group working on this playbook by looking at Paul Hawkins' drawdown. That was what galvanized the coalition last year. Paul was at our climate summit in September, and he looked at what solutions are available for drawing down carbon, and he looked at it by sector of the economy. So that was, we took his outline of sectors, we took his outline of solutions, and looked at how could we implement those here in the Metro KC region. There were some that we eliminated. There's no rice paddies here, so we took that one out. But there are others, like active transportation solutions, like biking and walking, building solutions like energy efficiency and improved insulation, many things related to the food system, composting, agriculture, land use, like planting trees, that all apply here in Kansas City and where local governments have tools at their disposal to make a difference in those areas.
Well, you know, I know that, the book Drawdown was edited by Paul Hawken, and it listed out the top 80 steps that the local governments and could take to reduce carbon emissions and people as well. Can you talk about? I know that you also used climate action plans from Midwestern cities as part of your resource.
That's right. We cast a very wide net in searching for solutions that we might include in the climate action playbook. We did look at cities like Denver and Indianapolis, Minneapolis, that have climate action plans, as well as a lot of nonprofits in the area and nationally that have put together their own playbooks for how cities can make a difference.
I'm sure you've looked at a wide variety of actions that local governments can take, but what can you tell us about the ones that excite you the most, or you feel that are the most effective?
Well, That's a tough one because there are a lot of things that excite me in the playbook. I tend to be most interested in some of the things regarding buildings, city design, and transportation. So for those areas, and really a lot of others as well, even when the federal government does act, cities will really be the decision makers and the ones making those on-the-ground decisions about where roads are built, where homes are built, how we design our cities, what kind of buildings are allowed to be built. So one that comes to mind for me is building design. Cities in our area set their own building codes, and that's the minimum building that you're allowed to build. Often we allow less energy efficient buildings to be built than we could. So even just raising that standard for new homes, new office buildings to require that they be more energy efficient would be an important step that cities could take right now.
Yeah, that definitely needs to happen, and that's something that has to happen at the local level. It can't be done by the state or the federal. And
not under our current governance structures.
Right. And my understanding is buildings, from past reading, I think buildings are like 40% about of energy uses, but whatever the percent is, it's a high percentage of that they use. So beyond building codes that can improve energy efficiency, what other actions do you feel that are most effective that local cities can engage in?
There was a lot of energy around food as a topic. That was something that I think a lot of people were surprised by when they learned about the drawdown book, was that solutions related to food and agriculture ranked very high. So we have some items in the playbook that relate to, for example, composting. Something we tried to do with the playbook also was to give different levels of action that governments could take. So some smaller communities or communities that might be less ambitious, they might choose to simply do lead by example actions. So to change the way they operate internally as a city. So on something like composting, that might mean implementing a compost program at City Hall or other municipal buildings to just compost the food waste that's generated at City Hall. We wanted to also offer a next level of action, which we called encourage. So perhaps that would be things like the city of Orlando provides free backyard composting bins. There's a city in Iowa that's offering free curbside compost buckets, I think. So that would be an encourage level. And then a require level might be looking at whether there's an opportunity on a municipal basis to require compost pickup for the city. So I think things like that, people were excited about the idea of composting. They understand the idea of diverting waste from the landfill, reducing the pollution of methane that's emitted at landfills by those organic materials, and the idea that there are multiple levels of action to fit different communities that might be larger, smaller, further along in their journey on reducing carbon than others.
I know that in drawdown, by level of impact, I think plant waste was number three on the list out of the 80 in terms of most impact.
I don't have it in front of me, but you can find out for yourself when the playbook is released.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll definitely, many of us in the community are going to be interested in that.
Yes. And, we chose that Iowa example because it's a little closer to home. There are other cities that are really leading the way, especially on the coasts. Things like composting are more prevalent in some of the West Coast cities. I believe New York City has some more advanced composting. But in the playbook, one thing we sought to do was to highlight policies that are already in action in other cities. So there would be something that we could replicate here. We wouldn't be starting from scratch. But we also wanted to find examples primarily of things happening in other Midwestern or central of the country cities that, Kansas City is not Seattle or San Francisco or Portland. And though they are doing a lot of good work, we felt that things happening in other Midwestern cities would be easier for local elected officials to achieve?
Beyond building codes and composting, what other interventions seem most realistic for our region?
Well, I'd like to talk about two. One would be regarding tree planting, because I think trees are both an important climate solution, but also provide a lot of other benefits to cities in terms of wildlife, stormwater, air quality. But also we're looking at transportation solutions, like wanting people to get out of their cars and walk and bike. And it's much more pleasant to walk and bike on streets that are lined with trees. They provide shade. They tend to cool the cars down. And so I think those are two that I see as being related, where we should be looking at designing our streets, which, again, is a function that happens at the local level. We are at the local level deciding whether we're building streets to be narrow or wide, whether we're building bike lanes, whether those bike lanes are physically separated from car traffic or merely painted on the ground, and whether there's trees and things that make you want to get out of your car. So I think increasing investment in alternative transportation solutions like biking and walking, which are both building those into the streets, but also thinking about how we design communities to be walkable, and other transportation solutions like investing in public transit.
I know as a bike rider here in Midtown Kansas City that I really appreciate the increasing amount of bike lanes that are being drawn here in Kansas City.
Okay, you are listening to Radioactive Magazine. This is our Pledge Drive night, so I want to give you a chance right now to take advantage of the fact that we have somebody who wants to match your money. So if you call in now and show your support for Radioactive Magazine, show your support for KKFI, show your support for our effort to get the message out about climate change, then give us a call now at 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org.
The planting of trees interests me in particular. I think it's safe to say that the more cities can plant trees, preserve urban green spaces, and the better that is going to be for a city. And I know on Drawdown they talk about afforestation, where they use the Miyawaki method, which is where you plant, you can plant like an area with a wide variety of different species, and then after 2 years, it becomes a self-sustaining little forest. Is there any attention being paid to that playbook? Or
we don't specifically mention that method, but there is a lot of attention being paid to both trees and native plants in general, and I think those two go well together.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be different best practices for planting trees along streets, to planting trees in private developments, to preserving trees, and to preserving and supporting urban forests in places like Swope Park. So things like removing invasive species are something that's going to have to happen first to allow that native vegetation to come in. And those native plants and trees are really important because they have very deep roots, and so they can sequester more carbon. So I think that our goal in the playbook, you'll see it's over 30 pages long right now in draft form. We have dozens of solutions, so it's really about a paragraph description of each one, along with examples from other cities, and then some additional resources, both national, federal resources, local, nonprofit, or other policy examples and resources. And the intention is really that someone like a Lindsay or Mike, who's on a local city council or a local water board or school board, county commission, could really pick this up, and that the playbook probably won't provide them with all the details they need to implement the plan, but it can give them ideas, see what sparks their interest, what they think would work for their community, and point them down the road to figure out what it's going to take to implement it.
Right. So as far as transit goes within a local community, can you talk a little bit more about that, or is that
That's one that's probably a bit more well understood than others. Although we have to do more to do better at that, but I think that would encompass, in a place like Kansas City, light rail. It would encompass bus rapid transit. It would encompass thinking about how we can help people make those choices and have it be an attractive choice. I think it would encompass, in places like Johnson County, they're experimenting right now with microtransit, which is sort of an Uber model for transit that helps you, through a public transportation option, get that last leg onto a more fixed route transit service, like a bus rapid transit.
Well, that's very intriguing. That's a very intriguing possibility. What about, I know that KCP&L has installed about 1,000 electric car stations around the metro. And is there any way that local communities can enhance the build out of that kind of infrastructure?
Absolutely. That is certainly one of the solutions we highlight in the Climate Action Playbook. Electric vehicles are penetrating the market. It's expected that by 2030, more than half of vehicles sold are going to be electric vehicles.
I didn't know it was going to be that high. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, that is what I was told just this week. So looking at those levels of action, like I mentioned, the lead by example option that we put in for electric vehicles would be installing electric vehicle charging at municipal facilities, so that your employees and anyone visiting City Hall or parks or whatever government facilities would be able to charge. You could also look at fleet vehicle purchases for the municipality, purchasing electric vehicles. There's a lot of innovation happening very rapidly in this space, so that it's not just your passenger sedans, but there are new heavier duty, medium duty electric vehicles coming that I know someone who works for the Johnson County Parks and Recreation District told me he thinks he may be able to get an electric vehicle within the next few years to do his work out in Prairie Fields. So that would be the lead by example option. Encourage might be giving grants, recognition, tax incentives for those who choose to install charging infrastructure. And then at that policy level, you might look at requiring that new buildings be electric vehicle ready or electric vehicle capable. So if you build a new apartment building, and we know that within 10 years, half the people who live there are going to want to be driving an electric vehicle, let's make sure that we, even if you're not installing the actual charger right now, let's lay that conduit down in the parking garage before you build that, so that it's real easy to put those wires in later when the electric vehicles are ready for it.
So that would be within the realm of code.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I know Overland Park, right now I'm on their building code task force, and I'm encouraging them to make sure that all new homes and new commercial buildings are EV ready. In a residence, that just means having a 40 amp plug, like what your dryer plugs into, in the garage when you build a new home, so that if that homeowner wants to have an electric vehicle, that they'll be able to charge it overnight at home. And so those are the kind of innovative, forward-thinking policies that we can do at the local level that can really help electric vehicles penetrate the market.
Well, and that's going to be fundamental. That'll be fundamental as we go forward. Is there any other policy that we haven't talked about that you feel will be effective in our region that local communities can use?
There are many, many of them. We haven't really talked about clean energy generation. So there are municipalities right now opting into renewable energy purchases for their own operations. But there's things that local government can do to make it easier for their citizens to install distributed generation on their own homes and businesses. The local governments can think about installing some of that clean energy themselves, and that is going to be really important too for resilience, to have some structures that are off the grid so that those can be shelters if there are ever disruptions in the grid. We haven't talked much about materials, things like recycling. We haven't talked much about land use and how we design our communities and making sure that we're preserving natural areas where we can, that we're encouraging development in areas that are already developed. And, you know, it's a long playbook. We tried to make it concise, but everyone in December will have a chance to read it themselves.
Okay. So it is going to be coming out in December.
Yes.
And how will it be disseminated? How will the playbook be disseminated?
We are having an event December 17th. MARC, the Mid-America Regional Council, is going to be hosting that. So you can look to them for more information on the details. It'll primarily be distributed electronically because there are lots of links that are what make it useful. And that'll be available online. And we hope to have a proactive outreach so that every elected official in the metro region will have a copy in their inboxes to take a look at and see what works for their community.
And is it safe to assume that other interested citizens can have a look at that as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's a public document, and my hope would be that any interested citizen forwards it on to their city council, water board, school board, county commission, and asks them to take a look and choose some priorities to get cracking on.
Okay. Well, I think it's, one would hope that you would have hundreds of citizens actually using that playbook and going in front of their city councils and advocating for what they know is the right thing to do. Well, Melissa, I think we have come to the end of our interview, unfortunately. So thank you very much for being on the show and talking about the Climate Action KC policy playbook. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.